best theologians in the world. They really, really are. I mean, they cut right to the chase. And so I love talking to little kids about this stuff. So I asked them, I said, Luke, what are you learning recently in your little religious time with your teacher? And he said, well, I'm learning a lot about God. And I said, oh, that's good. Well, what kinds of things are you learning about God? And he said, well, I think, Grandpa, that you and God are a lot alike. And I was flabbergasted. I was like, how cool is this? I mean, I started polishing my crown right then and there. I thought I'd made it. So I was very flattered. And so I asked, I said, well, in what way is God and Grandpa, similar? And very matter-of-factly, in a little four-year-old's mouth, he says, well, both of you are very old. And that kind of ended that theological discussion. Thank you very much. See, you never want to give them a chance. So this old guy up here is going to try and say a few things about God, perhaps, and some other thoughts. I tend not to get highly theological about things. I like to keep things simple. I like more kitchen table kind of theology. One thing some of you may not know about me is that one of the things that I do kind of on the side as a Presbyterian minister, I am also a Marin County Sheriff chaplain. And I've been doing that kind of work for a number of years now. And my congregation is basically when I get called out to a variety of law enforcement incidents, often very critical ones, and try to provide assistance for the officers that are on the scene, but also to provide pastoral care and support to victims of things that happen out there in the streets or in neighborhoods or people's homes. Perhaps some of you heard about the very tragic boating accident in Tiburon last Sunday, where unfortunately a young 11-year-old boy was killed and his older brother very seriously injured. I was called out to that scene. That's the kinds of things we get ourselves involved in when you're a chaplain in law enforcement. But I hope you will indulge me for a moment, because I want to tell you about another situation I was called out on that was profoundly meaningful to me in a lot of different ways. It was quite extraordinary, and I'd like to kind of set the backdrop so you can see where I'm going to be going in a minute. It was last May 2nd, in fact. It was a nice, warm, sunny day. And I was on the sheriff boat. The sheriff department has their own marine unit. And coincidentally enough, my son, Deputy Dan White Jr., is the pilot of the Marin County Sheriff boat, which is housed or docked in Sausalito. So I'm giving a little shout out to my kid, proud papa here. Anyway, I was on the boat with him, and along with us was Danny's partner, as well as the county coroner, and also a representative from one of the local mortuaries here in Marin. Danny took the boat maybe a couple of miles past the Golden Gate Bridge, kind of out by Point Bonita, in that general area. And he found a very beautiful, quiet spot and shut the boat down. And for about the next hour, I officiated over something I had never quite done before in this manner. I officiated over the scattering at sea, the cremains of 44 individual souls. These 44 were indigent people who had died on the streets of Marin over the last few years. And what usually happens is the coroner takes these cases, and then they spend a very painstaking time trying to locate the next of kin, to obviously give them the opportunity to come claim their loved one. But get this. In all 44 cases, the next of kin declined to come pick up their loved one and basically left it up to the coroner's office to deal with it. And that's when he called me. And so we took care of it. One sunny morning in May. When we were ready, I was searching for words to memorialize this extraordinary occasion. I mean, what do you say in the midst of all this? Though these 44 souls were strangers to us, part of the forgotten ones on the streets of Marin County, each one was a child of God and precious in God's sight, regardless of how they ended up on the streets of Marin. And so a verse in Leviticus came to me. And the verse reads like this: "But the stranger who dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself." So we were there essentially to express love to these strangers, for each one was a child of God worthy of dignity and respect and compassion. Now, the one thing we did know about these 44 strangers is that they all had names. So we knew their names. And you know, a name is what makes you, you, correct? There is a power to your name. At baptism, you're given your God-given name. And it's a great celebration. It's like the sacrament of belonging, because we have our name. Your name is your identity. It's your dignity. It's your uniqueness born in the image of God. It means you count. It means you matter. And every human being counts, and every human being matters, because every human being counts, and every human being matters to God. And as long as someone remembers your name, you will never be forgotten. Correct? Names are powerful. So we had 44 names. Here are the 44 names. I wanted to bring them to church today. These are the least of these that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 25. God knows each of them by name. And as long as we remember their name, they won't be forgotten. I didn't want them forgotten. So I brought them here to church. This is where they belong. During that little service on the boat, I quoted the scripture that Dennis quoted from Isaiah, a powerful one, when God says, I know you by name. You belong to me. You belong to me. And so, one by one, we scattered the remains across the water, and with each one, I intentionally called out their name to heaven. I prayed a blessing over each one, and I commended their spirit to the loving arms of God. And then about halfway through this extraordinary experience that was going on, I looked up and east, back towards the Golden Gate Bridge, and there was this stunning, striking image I had never seen before. There was this grayish white ribbon floating atop the ocean's surface, the current gently moving it eastward. And it dawned on me that these 44 souls were no longer strangers, or alone, or forgotten. They were all together now, co-mingling in this new community of the Creator. And it didn't matter what religion they were. We had no idea. We didn't know if they were a Republican or a Democrat, young or old, or what their color of skin was, but they were all together, one with each other and one with their Creator God. And as I thought about that ribbon on the water, it became a powerful reminder to me of that's how God wants us to live our lives right now. Not when we pass from this life, when it's too late. Because if we wait too long, it will be too late. We shouldn't have to wait until we're dead to love one another as God has loved us. For are we not created for community? To be our brother or our sister's keeper? To build bridges of understanding and respect, honoring the God-given worth and dignity of every human being despite the differences, or maybe because of the differences. Is that not what's in the gospel? Is that not what Jesus died for on that cross? That's it. So the ribbon on the water seared into my memory, and that kind of a haunting reminder that we cannot turn a blind eye of indifference to our human family, or even our own family, for that matter, or our own community, and yes, even our own nation. The ribbon on the water is a sobering reminder for me personally now of how distressing it is to see our country and our society and our culture, even at the highest levels, abandoning common civility and decency and respect, handing it over to racist rhetoric, pitting one group over another, planting seeds of distrust and even violence and terror. It's at a fever pitch level these days. And it shouldn't be that way. It is absolutely counter to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus called it out every single time for what it is. He called it sin. He called it sin. You can't square that circle. Okay. Here's the good news. Because there's always good news. Always good news. There's always good news because we believe in what? The good news of the gospel. We who proclaim to follow Christ, we know we are better than that. The ribbon on the water reminds us when we are in Christ, it is never too late. It is never too late to change course in something, to reach out to the least among us, to build bridges of understanding, to stand up for justice and for peace and for equality. Never too late to make amends, to forgive a transgression, and to work together to transform the brokenness of our world to make it better, not bitter, as some would want us to do. And I'll tell you why it's never too late. I'm going to tell you why it's never too late. Because God knows you by name, as does me. You and I belong to God because God knows us by name. We are a part of God's ribbon. And when God knows you by name, you belong. And when you belong, you accept your God-given purpose for being here. At this time, in this place, and nothing is impossible for those of us in Christ. The door is always open. The better nature of our angels are always waiting to shine through in any given moment. And we can make a difference one day at a time, one person at a time, and yes, even to the stranger, to the least among us. So, in closing, remember the ribbons in your own life. Despite the voices that seek to divide us and separate us, and in memory of these 44 names, remember we are all children of the same God. Worthy of dignity and respect, and most of all, love. God knows you by name. God put you here with divine purpose. And it begs the question, how do we want to be remembered? Let us be remembered as God's people who made a difference. Because in Christ, you see, we are the difference. So help me, God. Amen.